Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, a complete look at Middle Tennessee prep action. This is High School Sports Saturday with Tate Matthews.
Good Saturday morning. You're listening to High School Sports Saturday right here on 104.5 The Zone. Glad you're with us. Something out there you think we need to know about, 615-737-1045. If you're on Twitter, give us a follow at Tate Matthews. That way you'll know who the guests are going to be each and every Saturday morning ahead of time. Hard to believe. We'll be talking Christmas break next time we're on the air together. But we are got one more week of high school wrestling matches, high school basketball games, school classes. So very excited to be finishing up the 2018 year. Can't wait to see what 2019 has to in store for us come basketball, and then once we get into the spring sports as well. But as usual, 2018 did not disappoint. Not quite over yet, but what a great, great football season we had. All right, the lineup news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. And then we're going to get to our guest, Garth Bolden, Gateway Tire. We'll talk to you every week about Garth and the boys. Garth is going to join us. He is going to announce the Gateway Tire Player of the Year. So every week we talk about the Gateway Tire Player of the Week. The Gateway Tire Player of the Year, we'll be talking about who that is. And there were a lot of great candidates coming out of Williamson County, as usual. And I think they got it right. This young man we're going to talk about is really, really good. Then we're going to go to Ryan Callahan. Wednesday, December the 19th, is early signing day, national early signing day. We got a lot of big-time recruits that will be signing early. We're going to talk to him, make sure everything's on track as we see them coming down the path. Most of these guys, you would think there won't be any changes, but you never know. And then there's a few guys uncommitted, going to see where Ryan thinks they are in their recruitment. Then we're going to finish up with David Martin, longtime head football coach, Good Pasture, Stewart's Creek, most notably, just retired. Earlier this week, we're going to talk to him about his long-storied career. A lot of great teams, a lot of great games, a lot of great players. So very excited to talk to him about that. All right, the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. When you're downtown watching any of the games or just down there to get a bite to eat, make the Diner Nashville your huddle point. Hard to miss the six-story, 24-hour restaurant on the corner of 3rd and Demumbrium. It's like no other place downtown. Worth going just for the views and the balconies alone. The first floor looks like an old school diner, black and white checkerboard tile. They got the soda shop style bar, pastry case, anything that goes along with that. Muffins, cheesecake, lemon squares, they've got it. If you want a good old cup of coffee, you can get that latte espresso. They've got something for everybody. Second floor, the sports bar themed space. If the game is on, it's on there. Great menu on the second floor as well. Fourth and fifth, the stunning fine dining spaces. You can watch the game on the second floor. Go up and eat dinner with your significant other on the fourth and the fifth. They've got the traditional favorites, but also some local flavor as well. Sixth floor, the seafood floor. Emphasis on oysters and sushi. They've got the best raw oyster selection in town. They have the best Creole in town. They have the best Rockefeller in town. They've also got sushi, the Nashville roll. That's Prince's Hot Chicken in a sushi roll. If you haven't had it, that's worth going to try alone. So make the Diner Nashville your huddle point, whether it's Sunday morning football and brunch or Tuesday night hockey, and you're just looking for a burger. The Diner Nashville has the dish, the service, and is just a short walk from the game. All right, the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. Not a lot. I want to get into our guest, but as I mentioned, Coach Martin, along with Coach Martin, some longtime football coaches in the Mid-State stepped down this week. A lot of wins if you add up the three that stepped down this week. Obviously, Coach David Martin stepped down at Stewart's Creek on Monday. 231-129 record, 3 state championships, 5 runner-ups. We'll be talking to him the end of the hour. Coach Jeff Porter stepped down at White House on Monday as well. Coach has been the head coach there at White House for 32 years. I don't know that anybody's had a longer stint than Coach Porter that's still in coaching at one place. 269 wins, 125 losses as the head coach. He spent 4 years there as an assistant. He also was the head coach and guided the Blue Devils to the 1997 3A state championship. I still remember it. That was a big, big deal. BDP. They're losing a good one. Kurt Page has stepped down as the head coach at Hillwood. He stepped down Thursday after 4 years as the head coach. He's going to Alabama to be a headmaster of a private school down in Alabama. Most notably in his coaching career, Coach was the head coach at Father Ryan. Took them to the D2 state championship in I believe, 1997. So congratulations to all those three men on their retirements. I think it's safe to say for all three of them, job well done. Top basketball performance from earlier in the week. Mason McNatt, Grace, Christian Academy, 44 points, 8 3-pointers and a loss to Santa Fe on Tuesday night. Mason, I believe, can beat his father in one-on-one now and has been able to for a while. Dalton Marsh, Red Boiling Springs, big night, double-double, 28 points, 19 rebounds, and a win against Jackson County. Bobo Hodges, Maplewood, 20 points and a loss to Pearl Cone. Bobo already back in basketball playing shape and form. Obviously, that name familiar to you. It's because he's the quarterback of the Panthers. Really, really good dual sport athlete. Lastly, on the boys' side, Jack Thurman of Brentwood scored 17 points in a 54-28 victory over Summit. Big win for the Brentwood Bruins. On the girls' side, I had some pretty impressive siblings. Performances. Allie Douglas, 19 points. Abby Douglas, 17 points for Cheatham County and their 62-39 victory over Westmoreland. Cassie Monday, 24 points. Kaylee Monday of Clark Range, 23 points in a 62-25 victory over Pickett County. Lastly, on the girls' side, Zoe Pillar, 15 points, and Grace Baird, 10 points for Nolensville. They're not sisters, just teammates in a big win. For Nolensville in their 49-24 victory over Franklin. That was a big win for the Nolensville Lady Knights on Tuesday night. All right, that's the news brought to you by the Diner Nashville. Reminder, the High School Sports Saturday Dream Team 18, 2018 list team will be announced on December the 29th. So not next week, but the week after. We will be announcing that team. Very excited about that. Thanks, as always, to Adidas, home of the A1 Prime Knit, the fastest jersey on turf, grass, also the fastest shoe on turf in the Audi Zero. But very excited about that. We will be announcing the Dream Team on December the 29th. When we come back, we'll be talking to Garth Bolden, Gateway Tire. He'll be joining us to talk about the 2018 Gateway Tire Player of the Year. Very excited about that. We'll be right back with Garth Bolden on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. Gateway Tire, 1021 West McEwen Drive. Talk to you every week about Gateway Tire, home of the Yokohama Tires. And we got Garth and the boys. We've got Garth Bolden, Mr. Garth Bolden, on the line with us. Garth, good morning.
Good morning, Tate. How are you today?
Doing well, my friend. I appreciate you joining us. One of my favorite parts of the show is our partnership with you all and more importantly, getting to announce the Gateway Tire Player of the Week during football, Players of the Week during basketball, and then obviously the Gateway Tire Player of the Year in football. Always something that we're very excited about. A lot of great candidates again this year in Williamson County, and this year was no difference. Announced it last night at the basketball game, a very deserving young man. And would you like to let the listeners know who was the 2018 Gateway Tire Player of the Year?
Yes, we were honored to recognize Brian Garcia of Ravenwood High School last night, well-deserved candidate. I mean, as far as what he accomplished this year, the crowd was electric, and it was a great time to recognize Brian.
Well, Garth, it was, you know, there were so many good candidates, great candidates, deserving candidates last year. or this past season. It's kind of hard to believe we're saying last year, isn't it? But
it flew by. You're exactly right.
Flew by. But when you look at the stats alone, now if you didn't get to see him play, that's a whole nother thing. But you talk about a guy who's fearless out there on the field. But let's just talk about some stats alone. First of all, he's a junior, so he's coming back. Helped lead the Raptors to an 11-3 record. Spot in the 6A semifinals. What, right, came up a little bit short against Whitehaven, right? Really about a half short. Passed for a school record 2,700 yards, 33 passing touchdowns, along with 39 total touchdowns. Completed a touchdown pass to 10 different receivers. That's pretty strong right there.
Oh, he was fun to watch. I mean, he extended plays with his legs. He was so elusive, and then would find a receiver and just big play after big play. And he was a big part of their run, making it as far as they did. And you're right, they were half away from making it to the state championship.
I would have loved to have seen that too. I don't know, it's matchups are different, right, with different teams. And, you know, I'm not sitting here saying, I don't know that anybody could have beat Oakland last year, especially the way they were playing those last 2 weeks. But I would have liked to have seen a Ravenwood-Oakland state championship game in 6A on Thursday night. But, again, no shame in making it a half from getting there. He's sitting there at 21-5 as a starting quarterback. Again, he's got another year of high school football. When you all go into the decision of making who is the player of the year, again, like we said, you name 10 throughout the year, and so many great performances. You look at what Michael Burdick did at Page, and you look at what T.J. Sheffield from Independence, Cash, so many big performances. What was it about Brian Garcia at the end of the day where you all said this is the player of the year?
Well, he was our week one player of the week, and then he was our final week player of the week. And so there are several different things that go into choosing the player of the week. But one of the things that I had so much admiration for Brian is that he is a leader. And so we look at characteristics. It's how they perform, but it's also character on and off the field. So when we were there to recognize Brian the final week, we've been doing Player of the Week now for, I believe I've been sponsoring it for 7 or 8 years. This may have been the 8th year, and we've recognized a lot of fantastic young men along the way, but when we recognized Brian the last week, he came up to me on the field as we were presenting him the plaque and taking the photo. He said, "Sir," he said, "do you mind if I have my offensive line in this picture with me?" And I'll be honest with you, Tate, it sort of took me back. You think about all of the players that we have recognized, that's the first time a quarterback has asked for their offensive line to be in the photo with them. And I said, "Brian, you are more than welcome to have them in this photo with you." So we lined up, took the photo, and he was very thankful. And as we were leaving, I told Terry Merrill, with WAKM Radio, that we present this award with, that I said, that might just have helped him win Player of the Year in my eyes. And then, of course, they made the playoff run, and he extended, the season. And so it was really an easy decision, in my opinion, at the end of the season, of who to pick.
Well, and you're right, and that's leadership qualities, right? And it's coming from he's a junior, man. So to get that at that age, that's a big deal. His grandfather was a very highly successful coach down in Mississippi, so it's in his blood. He's also, probably been hearing those things all his life growing up, and it's neat to see that he absorbed them. I think one thing that needs to be mentioned. You sit there and you look at those stats, 2,700 yards, 33 passing touchdowns, as we mentioned, 39 total touchdowns. Now, remember, it's been 6-7 weeks now. They had a forfeit in round one of the playoffs. Remember?
They sure did. I forgot about that.
That's right, because of the Overton game. So, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know where that ends up, but he was over 200 and close around 300 yards a lot of games. I mean, this thing could have gotten right up to around 3,000 yards passing and over 39 total touchdowns. So that's just a little side note. Pretty neat there. But the other thing that I love about the kid, and I know you do too, and I don't think you would mind us saying this, you know, not the biggest guy on the field. So when you see him outside of pads, you know, it's probably, you know, and when you look at his stats and you see him off the field outside of pads, probably doesn't really add up, right? Not the biggest guy on the field. But, boy, he's got the biggest heart on the field, and he plays big time when he's out there. When those lights are on, he shows up.
He shows up, and the winning instincts take over, and he gets it done. And, you know, the one thing about Brian that we also need to mention is he is a very good baseball player. And that's one thing that, you know, to watch him throw the football, you can understand how he's such a good baseball player, because he has tremendous arm strength. And you're right. The first time that I ever saw him warming up as a quarterback, I said, you've got to be kidding me. That's the starting quarterback. And I mean, he looks like he could be in junior high. And but he can stand back and throw that football for over 50 yards with ease and make it, you know, and just put a great touch on it as well.
Garth, Gateway Tire is so involved and supportive of athletics in Williamson County. You know, as you mentioned, this is about your seventh, eighth year doing this. So the player of the week, I know why you are so involved, because, you know, sports played such a big part of your life and your kid's life, and you understand the importance of it. But the player of the week, when you started doing all this, player of the week, player of the year, why was that one of the things that you really, really wanted to make sure that you all were the sponsor of this and put that out there?
Well, I wanted to recognize young people for the hard work that they do outside of the classroom. I mean, granted, being a student is hard enough these days, but also being an athlete is close to a full-time job in today's world. They're working, you know, almost now 12 months out of the year. And, you know, the thing about high school sports, we're talking about our next generation of leaders throughout our community. And I feel like that we can give back to the community, but community to recognize young people like that, to give them, you know, hope that, hey, what I am doing is being seen throughout and appreciated. Because the last thing we want to do is give our young people false hope. And we want them to know that what they're working for is meaningful. And, you know, as you well know, of having, you know, a young man that plays football as well, it's not an easy task. They're going to school all day, then they're working out, and then they're practicing, and then they're coming home and they're studying, and they're trying to eat right, and all of this stuff that, you know, all I wanted to do was give them the recognition for the hard work they're doing. And that's simply how it originated. And, you know, it's been a tremendous time to be able to just meet some great quality young people, and it's very enriching to see that going on in Williamson County. I mean, we've got some great high school coaches, great high school athletes here in Williamson County, and I'm very proud to be a part of that.
Well, we appreciate it, buddy, and I know they look forward to it. You know that too. They can't wait to see who it is. They like to get that picture in the paper And again, so many great deserving candidates, but I think can't argue with who you all came up with. So happy for Brian. He's a very deserving young man. Basketball players of the week. Do we start those up first of the year?
We'll start those up the first of the year when district play really kicks in. You know, I've already had an opportunity to attend several games, and it's going to be another fun year. You know, last year we introduced the female player of the week in basketball as well. Last year was the first year we had done that. So this year we'll be doing the female and the male players of the week, and then female and male player of the year as well. So we'll start that January 1st, and we'll go through the last week of the season, and then sometime after the playoffs, or the tournament, we'll recognize our players of the year.
Garth, we appreciate you joining us, man, and appreciate what you do for high school athletics in Wilco and Williams County, everywhere in the mid-state, but really in Williams County. We appreciate it, brother. Thank you for joining us.
Tate, thank you, and have a great afternoon.
You too, my friend. Garth Bolden, Gateway Tire, the Gateway Tire Player of the Year. Again, junior quarterback Brian Garcia. I don't know if anybody's ever won it back-to-back, but he's got a good chance to do it. So congratulations to him. And again, thanks to Garth for joining us. Walker Chevrolet, while we're talking about the WCS Sports Conference, the official sponsor of the WCS Sports Conference is Walker Chevrolet, 3940 Carruthers Parkway, right there off 96 in Franklin. Biggest and best inventory of new and used Chevrolets anywhere in the mid-state. And again, they are another huge sponsor of high school athletics in Williams County, the official sponsor of WCS Sports Conference. We'll be right back with Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247. We'll talk a little early signing period right here on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 This Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. When you're out and about with the family today, if you're in Murfreesboro, two locations, Memorial and Medical Center, Parkway, Mount Juliet, Hermitage, Bellevue, take the family to Penn Station East Coast Subs, best subs in town, every sandwich freshly grilled to order, fresh cut fries. My good friend Jimmy Harper loves the fresh baked cookies. You cannot go wrong. Big supporter of high school athletics in Middle Tennessee, the Penn Station East Coast Subs athlete of the year scholarship back again. You can go to psathlete.com to nominate that deserving young male or female athlete. We've got Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247 on the line with us. Ryan, good morning.
How's it going, Tate?
Doing well, my friend. Appreciate you joining us. Got a big week coming up this week. Early signing period, December the 19th, Wednesday, and it actually goes through Friday. For those of us that don't fully grasp that, why don't you explain that to us real quick?
Yeah, so this is the second year that they've had this, obviously, and it's kind of turned into the, as we thought it might, the biggest portion of the two signing opportunities that players have. The traditional National Signing Day is still in February, the first Wednesday in February, but that's kind of become secondary, at least last year, and that's expected to be the case again this year. Last year, about 65% of players nationally went ahead and signed in December, and about 80% of players who were committed to schools at that time signed in December. So most kids will come off the board this coming week, and you'll still have a portion of the guys out there who will sign in February like they used to do, but this is the second year of it, and that's kind of the way it's quickly evolved to where this is kind of the main show now when it comes to recruiting.
Well, let's talk about some of the local guys that you think will be signing on Wednesday or during this period. One that I thought maybe had a chance to change, and a kid I got to see a lot and I love, TJ Sheffield, Purdue. Obviously, when it looked like Brom was going to leave, you know, I thought that one had the biggest chance to maybe swap. With Coach Brom staying, TJ Sheffield, you any doubt that he is a Purdue Boilermaker come next week? I mean, Purdue Boilermaker?
Yeah, I think he's going to stick with Purdue. And like you said, if there had been a coaching change there, I think that one would have been one to keep an eye on because he had some other options, I think. And his recruitment has been interesting. Obviously, he had the ordeal earlier where he tried to commit to Notre Dame, that it wasn't accepted by them, and he handled it very well publicly. But it ends up at Purdue, and I think in an offense that's the perfect fit for what he can bring to the table. He's a good athlete, not a burner with elite speed, and that's why he's probably not quite ending up at an SEC school. But I think he's going to be in an offense at Purdue that's really going to allow him to thrive. They throw the ball around a lot. Jeff Brohm knows how to use guys like that, and I think he's going to be a really productive player in the Big Ten.
Zion Logue, still going to Georgia. You see him signing there next week?
Yeah, so it looks like that's his plan, and you'll find that as we go down the list here of all the guys really in the Mid-State. There's not a whole lot of drama this year. Zion Logue, though, was a guy that some other schools have tried to make a run at him, including Tennessee, most notably Tennessee. They didn't give up on him from the time he committed to Georgia back a few months ago, and he's been pretty solid with the Bulldogs. You know, Tennessee at one or two different points thought it had some momentum to where it might at least get him on campus for an official visit. That visit to this point has not come together, and unless he surprisingly showed up in Knoxville this weekend, which was not expected, then I definitely think he's going to sign with Georgia on Wednesday. So it's a guy whose stock has risen quite a bit over the past several months, and he's now a four-star in the 24/7 Sports composite ranking. So definitely a nice pickup for the Bulldogs in a year where there's not a lot of elite defensive linemen in the state of Georgia. So they kind of had to go into Tennessee to find some guys this year, and Zion Logue looks like he might be a really nice find for them.
Well, yeah, that one, we talked with you back in the summer before season started about him. I don't think anybody's stock rose as high and as quickly as his did. And
absolutely.
That was interesting to see that. So he never really wavered.
Never really wavered. And like you said, he's an interesting player because he's sort of evolved. He was, you know, just a year or so ago was in the 245, 250 pound range and just kind of really blew up physically, and then goes to a lot of summer camps, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and just racks up a bunch of big offers in a pretty short period of time. And suddenly he goes from a guy with no SEC offers to a guy with offers to go just about anywhere he wanted. And he's now around 290 pounds and projects as maybe a 3-4 defensive end or a guy who can play inside a defensive tackle in 4-man fronts, and just a really, really nice looking player who had a good senior year. And it sometimes was pretty physically dominating. So a nice pickup for Georgia. And yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of drama aside from having to fend off a possible visit to Tennessee that never came together.
A couple of big defensive tackles. I know one of them's going to be a defensive tackle. Elijah Simmons of Pearl Cone, UT. He's been UT all the way. I believe I saw where he tweeted he was, 10,000% committed to the Vols. Yeah. I don't think that changes. And a neat thing that was what you had told us about, you know, not as many offers as some of these other guys, but he went up to camp. Coach Pruitt liked him. The rest is history. I don't know about for next week. I got to see him up close, and I could not have been more impressed with Tymon Mitchell. Do you see him signing with Georgia next week?
It looks like he will stick with Georgia. There was at least a period in the fall where some other schools kind of circled back and came after him, and he was, you know, at least waffling or maybe considering taking some visits, but those never have come together. And it looks like he's set to sign with the Bulldogs. So we'll see if anything changes there at the last minute. But he looks pretty solid with Georgia, and you know, again, another example. They've got three defensive line commitments from the state of Tennessee. Because they really couldn't turn to as many in-state guys this year. That's a rarity for the state of Georgia, and Tennessee kind of benefiting from that with three guys there whose stock rose quite a bit at one time, and Bill Norton from Memphis being the other one, another four-star prospect. But Georgia with three defensive line commitments, and Tymon Mitchell, a guy that projects as probably a nose tackle or certainly a defensive tackle, depending on whether they're in a 3 or 4-man front, but definitely a bigger defensive lineman who Georgia expects to blossom into a good player.
Eric Gray, I know he's not here, but you know a lot of people here have a lot of interest in him. The Lausanne running back, Gatorade National Player of the Year, three-time Mr. Football. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Eric Gray?
Yeah, I think Tennessee's still in the driver's seat for him, and it's looked that way since even before he decommitted from Michigan just a couple weeks ago on December 1st, actually, and that was the same day he went back to Tennessee on an unofficial visit that was his fourth trip to Knoxville since September. So he's obviously seen a lot of Tennessee lately, We'll see. He's probably taking another visit this weekend. You know, we'll see where he ended up going, but he definitely has had some other options, but Tennessee is the one that's kind of remained at the forefront. And I would be surprised at this point if he doesn't end up at Tennessee with just the way things have been trending there. He's been keeping an eye on the offensive coordinator search, but I don't think that's enough of a concern to deter him, even if a hire is not made by Wednesday. So I think Tennessee is likely where he ends up and would be a nice pickup that would address a major need for the Vols. They don't have a running back in this class yet, so certainly could use a guy who's been as productive as him and who has the kind of skill set he brings to the table.
We've had some big running back prospects come out of the state the past few years. Where do you rank Eric compared to, say, the, you know, I don't want to compare him to some of the other guys, but we all know who we're talking about. There's been some really good running backs come out of the state the past 3-4 years. Where do you put Eric Gray?
There have been, yeah. He's different. He's not the biggest back out there, and around 5'10", 193 pounds. He's got the frame to maybe put on a few more pounds, but with his resume and what he brings to the table, it's hard to really complain about anything he does. You know, even though he doesn't have elite speed, I would say, for a smallish guy, but what he does is he has great agility. I think in traffic, he's hard to square up and get a hard hit on. He makes people miss and inside the first 10 yards near the line of scrimmage. So I think that's a really valuable skill to have for a running back, obviously, and that's what makes him so good. So I wouldn't quite put him up there as the best running back that's come out of this state in recent years, but he's certainly a deserving one of being the number one back from the state of Tennessee this year. And we actually have him ranked at 24/7 Sports as the number one all-purpose back in the country right now.
Wow. Kane Patterson, Clemson, CPA. I don't think there's any doubt Clemson's where he's going to go. They're getting a good one. It was fun to watch. People forgot about, you know, how late in the year last year his injury was. And then so really going into the quarterfinals of the playoffs, it had only been a year since his injury. You saw he was back to full speed, the Lausanne game and then the BGA game. So I don't think any doubt that he ends up at Clemson. His teammate, uh-huh, Noah Henderson. Where do you think that goes? I don't think he's going to sign early. He probably shouldn't sign early. But as these things start to play out, there's just too many. The guy's just too good to be uncommitted and not signing early. But that's okay. How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought all along. Since I've seen him, you know, back in the spring, I thought he was a guy who eventually would play his way into a Power Five program. I still think there's a good chance that could happen. He's a good example of the exact type of player who could benefit from the early signing period, in the sense that once the majority of players come off the board, as we saw last year, some of these guys, their stock will rise simply because they're still available. And I think he's one that's deserving of that will probably get other opportunities. Right now, it looks like Tulane and Arkansas State are a couple of his better options, that if he was signing Wednesday, he would probably end up at one of those two. Arkansas State's a place he's pretty familiar with. But he's had some other Power Five programs that have sniffed around. You know, Cal and Stanford were interested at different times. I wouldn't be surprised if even some SEC, ACC types end up sniffing around. We'll see where he ends up going, but I definitely think he's going to have more opportunities once the early signing period passes and some other schools get to kind of reassess their boards and see what they need. I think he's a good player who will end up somewhere pretty good.
And I like that. That you're exactly right. I think players like him especially, benefit from this. And I think that's a good thing, without a doubt. So, all I know is this. There's a lot of players that are signing places that could not cover him the last 2 years. So,
very true.
Right? Is that fair to say?
I think that's definitely fair to say. And I've talked to a lot of people who've compared him to other SEC players. You know, a comparison that's been made to me a couple times from just in-state people who saw him play at Tennessee, I think he reminds him of Josh Smith. That was a guy who was pretty productive at Tennessee when he was healthy. If he can be that kind of player, hey, there's no reason he couldn't play at an SEC school, or certainly at least at the Power Five level.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate it. It's going to be fun next week. You all are going to be very busy. You'll be very busy, but I appreciate you joining us. We'll be very interested in watching. Can't wait to talk to you about it later. Hope you have a happy holidays, and as always, we appreciate you, man. Love your work.
Absolutely appreciate it, Tate.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247. In my opinion, he's the best at what he does. Terminix, someone else that is the best at what they do. Crawl space, free inspection. You need to get it scheduled. You should have already done it. The weather's changing. trying to get inside to stay warm. Well, the critters are too. You need to get that free crawl space inspection scheduled. All you have to do is call 800-TERMINIX to do it. If you can hear this station, this show, you're in their service area. Robert Boyer and the crew in the Cool Springs office, I know them. They are first class all the way, and they want to wish everybody a happy holidays, Merry Christmas. So, Terminix, get that free inspection scheduled, 800-TERMINIX, not in my house. We've got Coach David Martin next on High School Sports Saturday, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back to High School Sports Saturday. Looking for a last-minute Christmas present? Mandu, M-A-N-D-U-U.com. You already know about it. We've been talking to you about it. But get that loved one of yours who's trying to get back into shape, or even if they are in shape and they want to take it to another level, go to Mandu, the groundbreaking fitness solution that uses EMS, electrical muscle stimulation. It is the most effective, highly efficient exercise regimen that's out there. 15 minutes, you get the equivalent of 6 to 8 hours of strength training in the gym. I tell you every week, I know what you're saying. That's crazy. Go get your free first appointment. Do it one time and you'll know what I'm talking about. You can only get up to 65% of muscle penetration when you work out on your own. 95% muscle penetration with Mandu. That is the main reason why it is able to be so effective. So if you call or if you go in and you schedule from now to January the 31st and mention the college football special, you can get the High School Sports Saturday or Forklift Systems $300 off on the 15-session package. Mandu, M-A-N-D-U-U.com. A guy who could probably get in there and step right into the Mandu, Coach David Martin, joins us this morning. Coach, appreciate you joining us, buddy. Retired on Monday. Congratulations on a very, very successful career. And the thing about it, for those that know you, you're not stepping down because you're tired or anything like that. It's just time. You will not be going home and sitting around the house every day, right? You'll still be working. You'll announce that later. But why this year, Coach? Why was this it?
Well, yeah, it's been something I've been, been in the back of my mind. And, the coaching part of it has gotten, it's easy. Working with the kids, the fun, that's the great part of it. There's just a lot of things outside the program that was ahead that I just didn't have the energy to attack. We're behind at the Stewart's Creek on facilities, no doubt. We've not made much progress in remedying that. That's been a problem. Our fields, just a lot of things. It's going to take a lot of time, and I just didn't feel like I had the energy to step up and attack those things with the fervor that they needed to do the right thing for the program and for the kids. And it just seemed like time.
Well, I can respect that, and I would think they appreciate that, right? When we've seen it, you've seen it more than I have. Sometimes some guys kind of hold on to that spot, right? You knew it was time,
right?
And you could look back on your career and feel confident, no job well done.
Well, it is, and we've got the program. We brought it to fruition in a lot of ways, and. If you look at our season, and we were a young team this year with a lot of juniors. We even started a freshman. So we're young, but the thing that I want to do is leave somebody in a predicament where they just had to start over with kids and there's nothing left in the program and you got to build it up. I didn't want to leave it like that. And I know you've seen, as I have, many coaches that leave under those conditions. And that was not the way I wanted to leave it. I wanted to leave it in great shape. It is. Those young men were very competitive in every game this year with even the great teams that we played. And with all of that experience coming back, I think it'll be a great year for somebody next year and a bright future for it. As I said, the big thing now is you gotta get the facilities up to speed and, it's going to be going.
So you look at your overall record, 231 wins, 129 losses. That's over 100 wins, right? It doesn't take a math major to know that. It's over 100 more wins than losses. And, you know, some of these younger people probably don't understand. You started the Stewart's Creek program from scratch, which I know that's something that you're very proud of and the way you all have built that thing up. When you got to Good Pasture in, what, 1992? It was not the powerhouse that people remember from the 90s, right, and the early 2000s. That thing skyrocketed pretty quick. But as you look back on all your jobs, Columbia Academy, BGA, Stewart's Creek, as you look back at that, what are a couple of the things that you're most proud of that you and your staffs and your players were able to accomplish?
Well, I'm really, you know, and this has been something that's important to me over the years. I think that everywhere, at every stop we've made, we run a program first with the kids in mind, and secondly, with absolute integrity. We've had no, we haven't been in the newspaper with problems. We haven't had issues, and you know, to run a program with that kind of integrity is something that I've been very proud of, and feel very confident that we've, as we say, done things the right way. So that's the thing right there that I'm most proud of, because, you know, you have to protect your name, you have to protect your integrity, and feel like we've done that.
Coach, 3 state championships at Good Pasture, 5 runner ups. I think, like, when you look at some of the guys who's had the type of career as you all have, I would think, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but some of those runner-up teams probably weren't the second-best team in the state. And I would think that, you know, some of those teams, even though they were runner-up trophies, those were some of your favorite teams and probably some of the best jobs that you all did coaching during that run. Is that a fair statement?
Well, that's one of the things that I really liked about Good Pasture and the things that we did is how I felt like at so much of the time we played better than we really were. I thought our kids played together well. I thought they gave a tremendous effort, tremendous preparation all year to get to that point. And just the expectation that they had to play at that level and the things they had, you know, ahead of them that to emulate to play at that level. And I'd really, you know, that's one of the things I admire about any program is when young men play better than they are, and that's something I think we did. And, you know, as far as a career, you know, I've been surrounded by great young men, and I've been great coaches. They've made me look good, but you know, I've had so many awards and everything, but it's due to what's been the surroundings of coaches and players that we've had, and now to finish it up by starting a program from scratch, it's something that not many people ever get to do. So it's been kind of a storybook career.
Coach, young coaches out there, we just mentioned there's 3 jobs opened up this week. Some good jobs, right? It seems like we're getting to that point. There's a lot of young head coaches out there now. There's getting ready to be some more young head coaches out there. What do you think maybe the number one piece of advice, doesn't matter, D1, D2, doesn't matter, to a first-year head coach, a young head coach, what would your number one piece of advice be? These are some things. This is what I learned, brother. Make sure you address this.
Be genuine. And you have to make everything about the young man. Yeah, those kids, they recognize that it has to be about them. They have to know that you care about them, that you have their best interest at heart. And if you don't get them to love you, love each other, and care about the program, you know, you can talk about, you know, and a lot of young coaches get into it. Well, you know, it's the X and O part of it. Nah, that's not really it at all. It's really about those young men and what you can get them to and care about each other and being genuine with who you are and doing that.
Coach, you got inducted into the TNFCA Hall of Fame last year. Ricky Bowers, David Meske, George Quarles, Bobby Sharp, David Martin. I think they got that right, man. And then a year later, you're retiring and getting ready to pursue some other endeavors. So, congratulations on a great career to you and your teams. And I didn't want to let the week pass without having you on, man, because I know you're not going anywhere, but high school football lost a good one, brother.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and we appreciate all that so many people have done in the media, and particularly you have done in promoting high school football. You see the growth in it. It's continuing to grow and get better, and I know you've been around Middle Tennessee a long time and around Tennessee high school football a long time, and you can see that what was once was a few good programs, now there's good programs at every level and everywhere. So it's continuing to grow and get better, and we're just the number of kids involved. It's really that's really pleasing to see, and there's so many good lessons that can be learned from it. And we're just pleased it's healthy and hope it will keep going.
Well, you were a big part of it, buddy. Hope you and Miss Celeste have a Merry Christmas, and we'll be talking soon, okay?
Thank you very much. You too.
Yes, sir. Coach David Martin, again, retiring after a long, long and very successful career. We lost a good one. Tennessee Steel Haulers, want to remind you, when you're traveling over the holidays, get over, move over, give those truck drivers some room. We need them up and down the highways. And speaking of truck drivers, they're always looking to add quality drivers. So go to TENH.com, owner-operators, lease purchase programs. They want to have a conversation with you as they close out 2018. That's it for today. Up next, Forklift System Sports Saturday with the coach. Have a great weekend.